Because these were people of Iman.
They understood that the wealth that they had, the wealth of Iman, was greater than any of the dunya.
Today, you know, anything diverts us. We get rise at work, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, we are ready to compromise the deen. We get promotion at work, all of a sudden, you know, salah becomes very secondary. It's my future. It's my career. The boys, the youngsters, you know, anything takes them away. A few negative images about Islam on the media, and all of a sudden the iman begins to shake. If the iman was strong, it wouldn't shake. Boy gets involved with a girl, all of a sudden the beard goes, the thawb goes. For the girl, the hijab goes. Is that all it took? Is that all it took? If you look at the Salaf and the pious predecessors, you know, you looked at their piety. Look at Fudayl ibn Iyaz. Fudayl ibn Iyaz was who? He was. He, you could say he was the gangster of his time. He was the gangster of his time. Fudayl ibn Iyaz, he would rob even the hajis. He spared nobody. The hajis would not stop in the area where Fudayl ibn Iyaz and his boys were. One day, Fudayl ibn Iyaz sees a group of people going for hajj, and he hears the people saying, "Let's move quickly. This is the place of Fudayl and his boys." And Fudayl ibn Iyaz hears this, and something hits his heart. And he comes to these people, and he says to them, he says, "Look, I will protect you from Fudayl ibn Iyaz." They don't know this is Fudayl ibn Iyaz. They said, "I will protect you." They said, "Ah, alhamdulillah." He said, "Come and stay with me tonight. Fudayl ibn Iyaz, I know him, he won't touch you." So they stay with him. And that night, somebody's reciting the Quran. "Alam ya'ni lil-ladhina amanu an takhsha qulubuhum." Has it not the time come for those who believe in Allah, that their hearts submit for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has not the time come that those who believe in Allah, that their hearts submit out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Fudayl ibn Iyaz hears this, and he says, "My time has come." He says, "My time has come." And all of a sudden, that Fudayl ibn Iyaz became who? He was known as Abidul Haramain, the worship of the two harams. Why was he known as Abidul Haramain? He was known as Abidul Haramain because they say that there was no place in the two harams that the fear, that the tears of Fudayl ibn Iyaz did not fall out of the fear of Allah. From being a gangster, from being a man who would not even spare the hajis, he becomes a wali who has inspired millions. Is that your role model? Or is that the local celebrity? Or some rap artist your role model? Who is your role model? Because you're cheap. In all honesty, if you are substituting the Sahaba, the Awliya, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for some celebrity, then you're cheap. Because people, true, the youth who know that they are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know they're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they resist the temptations around them. And that is the sign of a living human being. A person whose heart is living, he resists the temptation. My friend Sheikh Yawar, he says, he gives an example. He says, dead fish go with the flow. Living fish swim against the current. You're dead, you go with the flow. Whatever's around you, whatever society portrays to you, you go. Today the fashion is this, tight, you wear tights. Tomorrow the fashion is loose pants, you wear loose pants. The day after they were wearing the Palestinian scarf, you start wearing the Palestinian scarf. Brother, why are you wearing the Palestinian scarf? Bro, it's the cause. It wasn't the cause before the celebrities wore it. Now all of a sudden it's become the cause. They tell you to wear your trousers halfway down your backside. You wear your trousers halfway down your backside. Where's the haya? Let me tell you about another sheikh, another gangster. Imam al-Ka'nabi. Imam al-Ka'nabi is a narrator of Muwatta. He's one of the students of Imam Malik rahimahullah. He was once sitting
And Imam Sha'bi was coming with an entourage. And this was the local gangster. So he asked them, he said, who's this man? What's this following he's got? He said, this is Imam Sha'bi. He's a muhaddith of his time. A great scholar. He said, great scholar? Hadith scholar? He said, okay. He went and he stood in front of the mount of Imam Sha'bi. And he said, narrate to me narrations. He said, read hadith for me. He said, you're not a muhaddith, nor are you a student of deen. Why should I read to you? So he took out his knife. He took out his knife and he put it by the throat of Imam Sha'bi. And he said, narrate for me. Either you narrate or this goes inside you. Imam Sha'bi says, Haddathana Mansur and the Rabai and Ibn Masud قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا فاتك الحياة فصنع ما شئت. He says that Mansur narrated from Rabai, from Ibn Masud رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when your حياة, when your shame dies, you will do whatever you wish. He said these words. The words permeated the heart of Imam Ka'nabi. He went home. He did tawbah. He went and he studied by Imam Malik for a very, very long time. From becoming a gangster, he becomes the imam of his time. The ulama say that he was one of the most authentic narrators of the Muwatta. From where did he start and where did he end? So Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu goes into the tent. And the dunya doesn't affect him. And he enters the gathering of Rustam. And Rustam is sitting on his bed, which is made out of gold. And around him are his cronies. And when they see Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, they begin to laugh. Because they see this man, dark-skinned, riding a mule. He's got patches on his clothes. His sword, the sheath of his sword was made out of a cloth. And the tip had a piece of leather. And they begin to laugh. Why? Because they judged him by the zahir. They judged him by his apparent. But little did they know that under that dark skin, patchy clothes were characteristics which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines as radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. That Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with their abode by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he gets off his mount. And they had placed a cushion for him. And he removes the cushion. And he sits on the floor. And Rustam asked him, why are you sitting on the floor? He said, I prefer to sit on the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rustam asked him, he said, why have you come? Why have you come? And Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu says, what does he say? He said, Wallahu ta'athana. What does he say? He didn't say that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas sent me. He didn't say that Umar ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, sent us. He didn't say that the Messenger of Allah sent us. What did he say? He said, Allah has sent us. Wallahu ta'athana. Linukhrija man sha'a min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabbil ibad wa jawri al-adyan ila adli al-islam wa dhiqi ad-dunya ila sa'ati al-akhirah. He said, Allah has sent us to remove whoever he wishes from the servitude of man to the servitude of the Lord of man. If anybody knew the servitude of man, it was Rabi ibn Amir, because he remained in the servitude of man all his life until he embraced Islam, and then he became the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the unjust nature of other religions and other systems to the justice of Islam. And from the tight confinement of the dunya to the vast expansion of the hereafter. This is what happens. Rabi ibn Amir, when Rustam went to his people, a long discussion, I don't have time to go through it, but when Rustam went to his people, he said to his people, he said, have you ever seen a man who is more articulate than this man? And more confident. And you know what Rustam's crony said to him? He said, oh Rustam, do not incline to the religion of this dog. Don't you see his mount? Don't you see his ride? Don't you see his clothes? They judged him by the zahir. Like many of us today, we judge people by their dunya. The respect that we give people is by their dunya. The ruder the youngster is, the more respect that he gets on the street. The richer the person is in the mosque committee, the more respect that he gets. Rizq is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a time when Muslims respected each other for their khair, for their good, not for their bank balances, not for the cars that they drove, not for how good looking you were, because your looks are, you have nothing to do with the looks. You have nothing to look do with the looks. And by Allah, no matter how good looking you are, on the day of judgment, if you have utilized your looks for haram, then you will wish that you were ugly in this dunya. On the day of judgment, no matter how good looking you are, no matter how the women flock for you in this dunya, no matter how the men flock for you in this dunya, by Allah, you will all be naked. You will all be naked and nobody will give you a second glance. Nobody will give you a second glance. That's your reality. No matter how good looking you are, when you're placed in that grave of yours, the spiders and the worms will run through those hairs of yours and those sockets of eye sockets of yours. Allah makes people beautiful because He wants to test them. He wants to see what you do with that beauty. Are you inclined towards the opposite sex? Do you transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has made me like this, but the thing that really counts is my character. So Rabi ibn Amir, radiallahu anhu, he knew what it meant from being a slave. So they say to Rustam, they said, don't you incline toward the religion of this dog. And Rustam, you know what he says? Rustam says, fool, don't you understand that these people are not concerned about the dunya? These people have a greater goal. They're not concerned about their clothes or what they ride. Rustam met one believer, one meeting, and he understood that these people were different. Rabi ibn Amir hadn't studied in Harvard University or Oxford University or any other university. He hadn't studied in Al-Azhar or Deoband. But when he spoke, Allah was the tongue by which he spoke. Allah was the hands by which they held. Allah was the eyes by which these people saw, because they were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, my dear respected brothers and sisters, when we create that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things become easy. Things become easy. Those things that we thought were difficult become very, very easy. In the time of the Prophet, so our goals are what? And I'm going to finish off here. Our goals are what? Our goals are high aspirations. We don't have low aspirations. We are people who aspire for the highest. We aspire for the highest. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said, when you ask for Jannah, what kind of Jannah do you ask for? He said, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Firdaus, the highest of Jannah, second best is not good enough. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And there was a Sahabi sitting next to him called Rabi ibn al-Ka'b. And this was a time when great wealth from Bahrain came into the Muslim lands. Never in the history of Islam had so much wealth ever come into the Muslim lands. And the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said, spread all the wealth in the masjid. And they spread all the wealth in the masjid. And the Sahaba come, and they ask the Messenger of Allah, can we have some? And the Prophet ﷺ says, yes. Another one comes, Prophet ﷺ says, yes. As one of the Sahaba, if I remember rightly, it was Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, he said the Prophet ﷺ didn't have the word la in his vocab. He never said no to anybody. Anybody wanted help, the Messenger of Allah was there. So another one comes and he said, take. Another one comes, take. Abbas radiallahu anhu took so much that he couldn't even carry it. That's how much they came and they took. And there's a Sahabi radiallahu anhu next to the Prophet ﷺ. His name was Rabi ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu al-Aslami. And the Prophet ﷺ turned to Rabi and he said, oh Rabi, ask, I will give you. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, whatever I ask for, You will give me? He said, ask, I will give you. So Rabi radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, I ask you for one thing, and one thing only. I ask you for your companionship in Jannah. Nothing else. I ask you for your companionship in Jannah. Nothing else. And the Prophet ﷺ said, is there anything that you want? Take some of this. And Rabi radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, that is enough for me. And the Prophet ﷺ said, assist me in assisting you by doing profuse sujoods, doing profuse prostrations. Do prostrations, and inshallah, you will be my companion in Jannah. Not only Jannah al-Firdaus, but with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? He didn't just say to him, okay, that's fine, you ask for it, I will give, it will be granted. He said, no, carry on with your action. Do the prostrations. Do the actions. You know what they say about the Japanese? Japanese work to attitude to work is what? If he can do it, I can do it. If nobody can do it, then I must do it. They say, you know what the Arab and the Middle Eastern attitude and the Muslim attitude to work is? They say, wallahi, if he can do it, let him do it himself. Ya Habibi, if nobody can do it, how you expect me to do it? But this is not the attitude that Muslims should have. Muslims who are people who are high, we have high aspirations. We have alul himma. And you see this in the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that we are people who are muta'addi. We are transitive in our nature. The Prophet ﷺ gave this beautiful example, and I will finish it, Allah willing. That, this, I often say this, but mashallah, you are such a good audience, you just keep inspiring me. He gave an example of three people who were traveling from the Bani Israel, from the people of before. And whilst they're traveling, it begins to rain. So they take shelter in a cave. And whilst they're taking shelter in the cave, a rock descends and it covers the mouth of the cave. So they heave, they push to no avail, and then they decide they can't do anything and they lie down waiting for death. And then one of them stands up and he raises his hands to the heavens and he says, oh Allah, I had elderly parents. And every night before my parents would go to sleep, I would milk the cattle and I would give the milk to my parents. One day I went far away to attain the fodder. By the time I came back, my parents had gone to sleep. My children wanted the milk, they were hungry, but I did not feel it fit that I give my children milk before my parents. So I told my wife, put the children to sleep. And all night, I stood by the bed of my parents with the milk in my hands. And when they woke up, I gave them the milk and they drank it. He said, oh Allah, if you know that I did this action solely for your sake, then remove the rock. And the rock moves, but not enough for them to come out. Then the second one stands up. He said, oh Allah, I had a cousin. I was infatuated with my cousin. There was no woman that I loved more than my cousin. Many times I made a move on her, and every time she turned me down. One day she came to me. She was in desperate need of money. And she said to me, give me some money. I am in desperate need. And I said, on one condition, that you allow me to have a relationship with you. And because she was in desperate need of the money, she agreed. And he says, when I came close to her, she said to me, ittaqillah, fear Allah, do not break the seal unless you are the rightful owner, unless you are the husband. He said, when she said, ittaqillah, fear Allah, those words permeated my heart and I moved back because the fear of Allah penetrated my heart. He said, oh Allah, if you know that I done this action solely for your sake, then remove the rock. And the rock moves, but not enough for them to come out. Then the third one stood up. He said, "Oh Allah, I hired a group of people. And come evening when it's time for them to take their wages, all of them took their wages besides one. And what I did with his one day wages is that I invested it until there was a valley full of livestock. A valley full of livestock. And many days later he came back and he said, "Oh servant of Allah, I need that one day wages." So I took him and I said, "You see all this? All this belongs to you." And he said, "Oh servant of Allah, do not joke with me. For I am in need of this money." Well, in English we would say, "You're having a laugh. You're having a laugh. You're laughing, you're joking with me." He said, "No, that was this one day wages and we invested it for you. And it mushroomed and it grew. And this is all yours." And the person, he takes all that belonged to him. He said, "Oh Allah, if you know that I done this action solely for your sake, ikhlas, solely for your sake, then remove the rock." And the rock moves. And it moves enough for all of them to come out. Now let me ask you a question. If me and you were the fourth person in that cave, by what action in our life that we've done would we ask Allah to remove the rock? What action? And if we haven't done such actions, then we need to become people of actions. Actions don't have to be great, but they have to be great in the eyes of Allah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah said, "Through ikhlas, many small action becomes enormous, huge. And many great action becomes small in the eyes of Allah." But we need to be people of actions. We are believers. We have an iman, which is unequivocal. But let's show that we can do something. Let's make a change. Let's be people who are muta'addi. Let's be people who really affect a change within our communities, affect a change within our homes, affect a change within our communities, affect a global change. That's what this ummah should be about. A global change. There's an author, if I remember rightly, his name is Ainsbury, if I remember rightly. He's a well-known author. He tells a story, and I will finish here, inshallah. He comes out of his hotel. It's by the beach, like Trinidad, like beautiful Trinidad, mashallah. You know, one thing I must say I really admire about you people is the ease by which you sit with different communities. It's admirable. Africans, Indians, it's very admirable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you istiqamah, because this is very important. The ability to relate to the people around you, may they be Muslim or may they not be Muslim. The ability to create a feeling of an ummah. Very few communities have the ability to do that. Very, very few. And alhamdulillah, it's very admirable. Maybe it's the barakah of being here 170 years. But this is very important. If you look throughout the Quran, sometimes Muslims have the ability, an ability of ostracizing them and isolating themselves, which is not healthy, because we are meant to be people who are muta'addi. We are people who are meant to, people are meant to incline towards us. If you create a barrier, then you will isolate people. You look out throughout the Quran. Every single person, every single Nabi, when he spoke to his people, what did he say? He said, "Ya Qawmi, my people, Ya Qawmi." They were all disbelievers, but he addressed them, "Ya Qawmi." Lut alayhi salatu salam, he addressed his people. You know what the people were up to. There wasn't nothing that Lut alayhi salatu salam agreed with. It was something that he came to change. But he's, "Ya Qawmi, my people." So they could relate to him. So there would be no barrier, and then the da'wah starts. If you look into the life of the Prophet ﷺ, exactly the same. When the first revelation descended, and he went to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said to Khadija, he said, "Zammiluni, zammiluni." He said, "Cover me, cover me." She gave him a cloth, and she said, "What happened?" And he told her, and he said, "Khashitu ala nafsi." He said, "I fear for my life." And what did she say? She hadn't prepared a talk on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was spontaneous. She said, "Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada." He said, "By Allah, Allah will never forsake you, because you assist, in a nutshell, you assist those who nobody else is ready to assist. The yatims, the widows, the orphans, the widows, the nobodies, the untouchables, you are first to assist them." This was the characteristic of the Prophet ﷺ before Islam. And this is why when he stood on the mountain of Safa Marwa, he said, if I told you that behind this mountain there are a group of people ready to attack you, would you believe me? And in one voice they said, of course we will believe you. You are Sadiq, you are Al-Amin. You are the trustworthy amongst us. You are the truthful one. When they wanted to give an example of a person who was upright, they would give an example of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because he had created that relationship. Generally, with the Muslim community, it's like this. We want to put a dawah stall out, and we want to give verbal dawah, nothing else. We don't want to build a relationship. We don't want to do any social work, any outreach work. But we want to give people dawah. That is contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam won the hearts and the minds of people. After living amongst them for 40 years, he gave them dawah. Umar ibn Khattab says, I was the 40th person to embrace Islam. Although there was about 12 more people who embraced Islam. But to his knowledge, he says that I was the 40th person to embrace Islam. After living amongst them for 40 years, being known as Sadiqul Amin, it took 6 years for 40 people to embrace Islam. 6 years, and we want it like, you know, we want it. You know, we live in an instant world. Like you put on the light switch, everybody becomes a Muslim. Like you send an email, everybody becomes a Muslim. The most difficult thing is to do the groundwork. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you, because alhamdulillah, I see great khair. I travel quite a bit. And mashallah, the way that you brothers and you sisters, mashallah, are comfortable with other communities, that is very admirable. Anyway, I'll come back to Ainsley. That's the author's name, Ainsley. Ainsley says, I came out of my hotel. And this is the change. Change sometimes starts little. But if everybody makes a little change, it makes a big impact. Ainsley says, I came out of my hotel and I saw tens of thousands of starfish washed up on the shore, tens and thousands. And in the distance, I saw this young man. He's picking up the starfish and he's throwing them into the sea. Picking up another one, throwing into the sea. So I walked up to this young man and I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, these starfish, they've been washed up. If they remain here, they will dry up and they will die. And I said to him, look around you. There's tens and thousands of them. What difference is it going to make that you pick up a few starfish and throw them back in? He said the boy had a starfish in his hand. He looked at me. And then he looked at the starfish. And then he threw it back into the sea. And then he turned to me. He said that it made a difference to that one. It made a difference to that one. And this is why, even if we make little changes in our lives, in the community that we live in, you will see the barakah of that will be slowly, you will have a greater change. So may I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve your community. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it grow. It's also admirable that being here 170 years, mashallah, you are still steadfast on your deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Darulum prosperous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make those who qualify from this Darulum ulama, who are transitive in their nature, who spread the deen, not just to the island of Trinidad, but to the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your community a role model. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannatul Firdaus. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.